When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. Today is Tuesday, September 16th, 2025, and we're plunging into a really fascinating stack of sources today, all outlining the latest, well, seismic shifts and some surprising developments in the world of artificial intelligence.
Yeah, lots happening.
Definitely. Think of this as your essential guide, you know, to navigating today's most significant AI stories and really understanding what they mean for tomorrow.
Exactly. Our mission today is to cut through all the noise.
Yeah.
Right? We'll pull out the crucial insights, look at the tangible business impacts, and try to understand the broader implications of how fast things are moving.
So we'll get a deeper perspective.
Hopefully, yeah. A more nuanced perspective on how AI is shaping industries, governance, even our daily lives. All distilled from, well, pretty diverse set of reports from today.
Okay, let's kick things off then. How are millions of people actually interacting with AI right now? What are the new models leading the charge? And are we seeing, you know, distinct usage patterns emerging?
Well, what's really insightful here is the new data coming out of OpenAI and Anthropic. It reveals pretty distinct usage patterns across their platforms.
Oh, interesting. How so?
So, for example, Claude users seem heavily focused on coding, more technical tasks, which, you know, makes sense given Anthropic's early strengths in that area.
Right.
But ChatGPT, that's seeing more writing and, interestingly, decision support.
Mm.
Users are explicitly asking for advice, not just asking it to generate content.
Ah, so it's less write this for me and more help me figure this out.
Precisely. And that data reveals a critical shift, I think. AI isn't just about output anymore. It's becoming more like a trusted co-pilot for decision support and personal delegation, especially outside of work.
That's a really profound observation, isn't it, about AI's evolving role. Are there other interesting demographic or usage shifts that stand out in the data?
Absolutely. The personal use of ChatGPT has just surged. It went from, what, 53% of messages back in June 2024 to a significant 73% now by 2025.
Wow, that's a big jump.
It is. And here's a kicker. Non-work conversations are actually growing faster than the professional ones. We're also seeing a clear geographic divide emerge.
Okay.
AI adoption in low and middle income countries is growing like four times faster for ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Whereas Claude usage seems largely concentrated in wealthier regions.
Huh. Any theories why?
Well, could be access, could be marketing, could be the types of tasks prioritized. But across both platforms, the trend is consistent. Users are delegating more and there's more information seeking rather than just, you know, simple output generation.
So it clearly shows how AI is embedding itself into our daily personal lives, not just the 9-to-5.
Exactly. It's becoming deeply integrated.
That is a significant shift in how we think about AI's place. But okay, beyond how people are using the existing tools, the models themselves are getting these radical upgrades. Let's dive into OpenAI's GPT-5 codecs. That seemed like a complete game changer for developers.
It really does. OpenAI just introduced GPT-5 codecs. And it's a specialized coding model with this remarkable new capability. It dynamically adjusts its compute effort based on how complex the task is.
Right. So it might spend just seconds on a simple bug fix.
Uh-huh. Or it could spend several hours on more intricate issues, essentially working autonomously.
So it's not just faster. It's smarter about how it uses its resources. What are the specifics behind that, that intelligent resource allocation?
Yeah, the details are quite impressive. This model significantly outperforms the base GPT-5 on tough real-world software benchmarks. Things like the industry standard SWE Bench Verified, which simulates complex coding challenges.
And the gains are noticeable.
Oh, yeah. Even larger gains on refactoring tasks, something like 51.3% accuracy compared to GPT-5's 33.9%. And get this, for simple tasks, it cuts token usage, that's the basic unit AI processes, by an incredible 94%.
94%.
But then conversely, it dedicates double the reasoning time to complex problems. Some of these autonomous runs lasted over 7 hours.
7 hours, working on its own.
Correct. And it has built-in code review capabilities, too. It can navigate entire code bases, run tests, validate dependencies. And this update includes revamped tools like CLI tools and IDE extensions for VS Code and Cursor.
So this whole agentic approach to coding, Yeah. It sounds like it's really matured.
It really has. Where the AI acts more like an autonomous developer tackling entire problems,
yeah,
it's completely changed development workflows in just a year. It really positions OpenAI as a very strong competitor in a space that Anthropic with Claude Code initially seemed to dominate.
That level of autonomy is truly remarkable for coding. Okay, while OpenAI is pushing boundaries there, it seems other models are making big moves and just getting users on board. Google Gemini just made a significant leap in the app charts, right?
It did, yeah, and it was a swift move. Google's Gemini is now apparently the most downloaded free iPhone app in the U.S. It actually surpassed ChatGPT, which held that top spot for a while.
And what's driving that sudden leap?
Well, it's almost certainly the buzz around its new free Nano Banana AI image editor.
Nano Banana.
Yeah, catchy name. It's this fantastic tool built right into the Gemini app. It lets you change scenarios or backgrounds in a photo using natural language prompts, you know, just typing what you want. And it keeps the main subject consistent.
Ah, so easy. Fun image editing.
Exactly. It's a very intuitive, powerful feature, and it's clearly resonating with a perhaps broader audience.
So Google's leaning into that fun factor to get Gemini into more hands. Makes sense. But beyond that splashy consumer feature, what other maybe more foundational developments are shaping the AI landscape right now?
We've had a few other notable things today. On the open source front, H Company introduced Holo 1.5. That's a new family of OpenWeights computer use models.
OpenWeights meaning?
Meaning their underlying code, the model parameters, are publicly accessible. It really fosters rapid innovation from the community. And they're boasting state-of-the-art performance on several agentic benchmarks.
Okay, and elsewhere.
Meanwhile, in the enterprise space, yeah, Microsoft is rolling out Copilot chat and agents across its 365 apps. Think Word, Excel, Teams, all integrated.
Seamlessly integrated. Supposedly, yes. Basic features are free for business users, but the advanced stuff, the GPT-5-powered features, they're still behind that 30-month license.
Right.
And maybe looking a bit further ahead, OpenAI is making a serious strategic play. They're aggressively hiring robotics researchers, particularly those with humanoid expertise. That signals a pretty clear push into physical AI systems.
Into robots, basically.
Into physical embodiments of AI, yeah. So, you know, all these foundational shifts, how AI is used, the tools available, they're reshaping daily digital interactions, work habits, maybe even the future of personal tech itself.
All right, that covers the evolving landscape pretty well. Now let's shift gears, because beyond general use and development, AI is popping up in some truly unexpected, innovative places, leading to some serious aha moments. Let's start with a fascinating personal application, how AI can actually improve your own thinking. Yeah, this is a really practical and I think powerful use case. It's about leveraging GPT-5's structured questioning approach to help you break out of, you know, circular thinking, generate more creative solutions for pretty much any problem.
Okay, that sounds almost like an AI coach for your brain. Can you give us a quick real-world example? How does that structured questioning actually feel to use? And are there limitations? Where does human intuition still, you know, reign supreme?
Absolutely. So imagine you're stuck on, say, a marketing strategy for a new product. You'd prompt GPT-5 in its auto mode with something like, okay, I'm trying to launch, describe your product, but I keep hitting the same ad ideas. Ask me enough questions to help find a new approach.
Okay.
The key is adding context about what you've already tried.
Right.
So GPT-5 knows where you're stuck. Then it'll ask this series of probing questions across categories like user understanding, maybe product experience, market trends, analytics.
Oh, guides you.
Yeah. It guides you. Exactly. As you answer, it helps you surface your own blind spots. It pushes you to consider fresh angles you hadn't thought of. It's like having this brilliant, unbiased, brainstorming partner, really.
But the limitations.
Well, the limitation is, while it can generate novel questions, it still relies entirely on your insights to answer them. It's superb for expanding your perspective, breaking you out of a rut. But that final leap of intuition, the truly novel, unprompted synthesis, that still belongs to us. For now. Anyway,
that's a brilliant way to put it, leveraging AI as a cognitive assistant. Okay, from personal thinking, let's move to creative platforms. Reeve has just revamped its image platform, and it sounds pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah, Reeve just unveiled this platform that combines AI image generation, natural language editing, and drag and drop controls, all in a single, freely available interface.
Free is good.
Free is always good. And it does raise an important question about, well, what's the next frontier in creative AI? Especially after recent moves by Google and ByteDance in similar areas.
And how does Reeve's platform work? What's the tech?
It uses something they call a layout representation system. Essentially, it gives the AI a kind of blueprint to understand and precisely edit images while preserving the original quality. It's got a drag-and-drop editor for really granular changes, both on uploaded images and ones it generates. And a chat box lets you create, blend, edit, all using natural language commands.
With web search built in, too.
Yeah, integrated web search for inspiration. And they've also released API access in beta, so developers can start playing with it.
Interesting. Now, shifting gears again from creative stuff to hard science, AI is making astonishing leaps there, too. Let's talk about Harvard's PDographer. You mentioned it's literally rewriting biology's recipe book.
That's not an exaggeration, honestly. Harvard Medical School unveiled PDographer, and it's a free AI model that maps this incredibly complex, tangled web of genes, proteins, signaling pathways, all to propose therapies that could potentially restore diseased cells back to health.
And it works.
Well, in trials across 11 cancer types, it ranked the correct drug targets up to 35% higher than existing tools. And get this, it did it 25 times faster.
25 times faster. That's phenomenal. Let's zoom out a bit. What does this fundamentally change for pharmaceutical R&D and ultimately, you know, for patients?
I think this fundamentally redefines the very locus of power in drug discovery. Traditionally, pharma spends billions taste testing compounds one by one in labs. It's slow, it's expensive.
Right.
PDographer acts more like a system chef, mixing multiple pathways at once to find the right combination therapy. If this tech scales, and that's the big question, the competitive advantage in pharma shifts dramatically.
How so?
It moves away from who has the biggest labs, the most test tubes, towards who owns the most comprehensive biological data sets. It could ignite a whole new data arms race in pharma.
Wow. And the impact.
Well, it has the potential to really disrupt contract research organizations, the CROs, maybe legacy pharma discovery units, and potentially completely accelerate clinical trial timelines, which means bringing life-saving therapies to patients much, much faster.
That's incredible potential. Okay, and for those of you who love a good game, switching tracks completely, imagine AI in the dugout. The Oakland Ballers ran this unusual AI coaching trial.
Yes, they did. The Oakland Ballers experimented by handing over managerial duties to an AI app called Aaronlytics during a Pioneer League game.
Seriously, the AI made the calls.
The system built lineups, called pitching changes, picked pinch hitters. It even nominated the beer batter.
The beer batter. Okay, explain that one.
Yeah, that's a minor league promotion where if a specific player gets a hit, beer prices drop for a bit. The AI picked that player. Now, engineers did have to patch in missing data and rules kind of on the fly.
I bet.
But the AI's calls, combined with human manager oversight, actually guided the team to a 3-2 win.
So it worked.
In a way, yeah. It was the first time an AI system directly made in-game calls like that. It really showed AI can process stats, suggest strategies incredibly fast. But crucially, the human managers still provided context, judgment, rule awareness. You know, the stuff AI might miss, like the nuances of the beer batter rule, perhaps.
Right. So the future isn't man versus machine.
Not at all. It looks much more like a powerful collaboration. Human intuition and algorithmic precision reinforcing each other.
So a powerful collaboration where even the beer batter gets optimized. Love it. Finally, in this section, we're hearing about something called vibe coding. What on earth is that about? It sounds surprisingly casual for software development.
Yeah, the name's a bit casual, and some veteran engineers do kind of dismiss vibe coding as just, you know, cleaning up the mess after AI makes messy code, commits glorified bug hunting.
Okay.
But AI startup teams, like ones mentioned called Coder and Beka.ai, they're showing its sharper, more intentional edge. Think of it less like messy code and more like collapsing the distance between a CEO's strategic vision and the actual lines of code being written.
How does that work?
When teams drive coding directly from the business logic using AI, it apparently slashes hallucinations, those weird, incorrect outputs AI sometimes generates, because the code isn't divorced from its context. It understands the why.
So it's not just faster code.
Exactly. It's about collapsing that wall between strategic business reasoning and the actual syntax. It allows founders potentially to prototype, iterate, ship features at unprecedented speeds. It's fundamentally transforming how some startups are developing products.
That's fascinating. So instead of endless debates in the conference room, founders are just vibing their way to a product with AI. It sounds almost too easy, but the results are clearly speaking for themselves. Okay, for you listening, what stands out here? How could these innovations spark new ideas or transform processes in your own world, maybe from creative tasks, strategic decisions, or even scientific discovery?
Okay, so while we're seeing these incredible leaps in how AI helps us, right, from coding to creativity to science, these powerful tools also bring, well, significant challenges and serious ethical dilemmas we really need to address.
We are indeed seeing some troubling real-world applications. For instance, there are reports that North Korean hackers from the Kim Suki Group use ChatGPT
to craft a deepfake of a South Korean military identification card. The goal was to make their phishing attempts far more credible, and it led to malware attacks on journalists and researchers.
Wow. So using generative AI for deception?
Precisely. And a cybersecurity firm, Genians, found they could have very bypassed ChatGPT's built-in refusal to create government IDs just by, you know, tweaking the prompt slightly. It highlights some concerning vulnerabilities in these systems.
That seems like a major loophole.
It does. And it raises that important question. How easily can AI be leveraged for malicious purposes? We also learned today that major AI chatbots can be coaxed into helping with phishing scams. Senior tests showed real risks of AI-driven fraud.
Okay, so security is a big one. And beyond that, there are significant legal and economic battles brewing, too. The publisher of Rolling Stone, for instance, is suing Google over its AI summaries.
That's right. Penske Media, the publisher, claims Google is illegally using its copyrighted articles to create answers for that AI overviews feature you see at the top of search results now.
And their argument is?
They argue Google now basically forces publishers to supply content for these AI summaries, which then cannibalize these search referrals that drive traffic and thus ad and subscription revenue. Penske says they've seen significant declines in clicks since the tool launched.
So it's that classic tension between content creators and aggregators, but supercharged by AI.
Exactly. Finding a fair economic model there is a huge challenge. And on another front, China's market regulator, SAMR, the State Administration for Market Regulation, issued a preliminary finding.
Against
NVIDIA, saying it violated antitrust law regarding its 2020 acquisition of Mellanox Technologies. This could potentially lead to fines, forced changes in business practices, and the timing seems, well, possibly linked to upcoming U.S.-China trade talks, adds another layer of geopolitical complexity.
Right. Trade and tech competition intersecting. We're also seeing, unfortunately, significant impacts on the human workforce with these rapid shifts. Hundreds of Google AI workers were laid off.
Yes, sadly. More than 200 contractors who evaluated and improved Google's AI products were laid off, apparently without warning. And this happened amid an ongoing fight over pay and working conditions.
And these weren't just any workers, right?
No, many held masters or PhDs. They were crucial for training the chatbots like Gemini and AI overviews, essentially teaching these systems how to sound more human, more intelligent, safer.
So the people doing the critical quality control.
Correct. And workers allege these cuts are tied to attempts to quash protests over job insecurity. It really highlights the precarity of these ghost work jobs that are so essential to AI development, yet often lack basic stability.
That's a tough situation. Okay, shifting to governance now. This next story is really remarkable. Albania has appointed an AI bot to its Council of Ministers.
That's right. The small Balkan nation of Albania appointed Diela. It's being touted as the world's first ever minister developed by AI.
A minister? Like with a portfolio?
Well, it seems largely symbolic in its initial unveiling, but there's serious intent behind it. The Prime Minister, Edi Rama, stated, Diela will play a key role in taking procurement decisions away from human ministries. The goal is to ensure public tenders are completely free of corruption.
Using AI to fight corruption, that's bold.
It is. And Diela isn't entirely new. Apparently, she already served as a virtual assistant on Albania's e-government platform. Rama hopes Diela will deliver complete transparency in procurement, which is, you know, a significant incentive given the EU's focus on combating corruption for Albania's bid to join the union.
So it's partly about EU accession, too.
Seems likely. But this whole experiment raises really important, maybe unprecedented questions about the future role of AI in public administration and ethical decision making by machines and government.
Definitely one to watch. Finally, we need to address a critical concern impacting our democratic processes that was highlighted in today's sources.
Yeah, if we connect some of these dots. Election interference driven by AI is becoming rampant. The data we saw today suggests over 80% of countries experienced AI-driven content designed to sway voters just in 2024.
80%? What kind of content?
Everything from defamatory deepfake images to manipulated video, audio, you name it. And these are not fringe cases anymore. They're becoming normalized tactics in political campaigns globally.
So the critical question is,
are our democracies already being edited essentially, by AI. It's a profound and, frankly, quite immediate concern.
A sobering thought. Anything else on the governance or risk front?
Well, on a broader note, OpenAI's own chairman, Brett Taylor, warned today of a potential AI bubble. He said a lot of people will lose a lot of money, even while acknowledging the tech will also create huge amounts of economic value. Classic bubble dynamics, perhaps.
Right. Hype versus reality. Any positive note?
Couple. Google released Vault Gemma. It's the largest publicly available AI model trained with differential privacy. That's a specific technique designed to strongly protect individual user data while still allowing for broad analytical insights. So, progress on privacy-preserving AI.
Nerve to hear.
And CrowdStrike teamed up with Meta to launch CyberSocival. That's an open-source benchmark designed to help businesses choose effective AI models for cybersecurity. So, efforts to make AI security tools more transparent and comparable.
Okay. So these stories really underscore the critical conversations we all need to be having, don't they? How do we ensure AI is developed, deployed responsibly, ethically, in a way that truly benefits everyone without undermining our institutions or our personal security? Big questions. Wow. That was an incredibly insightful journey through today's AI landscape. Really covered a lot of ground.
We did.
From the intimate ways we're personally starting to delegate tasks to AI, to those groundbreaking scientific and creative applications. And then, of course, the profound challenges in governance and ethics. It's clear AI isn't just another technology, is it? It feels more like a force reshaping our entire world.
I think that's right. The sheer volume and maybe more importantly, the diversity of today's news just underscores the incredibly rapid pace of change.
Mm-hmm.
It really emphasizes the need for, continuous learning, critical engagement, and just a willingness to understand the nuanced implications as these advancements unfold, often faster than we can anticipate.
Absolutely. Today's deep dive really paints a clear picture, I think. The future of AI isn't just about smarter machines in isolation, but about smarter collaborations between humans and AI, like encoding and coaching, and critically between policy and privacy, technology and ethics, to try and secure our democracies and our societies.
Well said.
So here's the final thought for you listening. As we've seen, AI isn't just changing what we do, but potentially how we think, how we govern, maybe even how we define truth itself. So what role do you want to play in shaping this unfolding story now that you're armed with these insights from today?